Well, thank you, young folks. We appreciate that good message and song for us. Tonight we got a real treat. We got Brother Terrell Hopkins with us. Brother Hopkins has been pastor Heritage Baptist, I think, 16, 17 years up just a little bit south of Atlanta, Georgia. Promised Land. Y'all know what Georgia is. It's where I was born. Promised Land, right? Anyway, we're so glad to have him. We've been working him pretty hard. We've had him in the college chapels, and I think maybe he's going to try to slip away and go back in the morning. But we, as long as we had him here, we wanted you to get to hear him on a Wednesday night. I was in a preacher's conference, a Bible conference up there, Brother Chad Stanley's in Waycross, and got to hear Brother Hopkins preach. I'd been in his church one time, but I hadn't had a chance to hear him preach. So you're in for a blessing tonight. Brother Terrell, come on. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Well, it is good to be here on this good Wednesday night. I tell you, I'm nervous. Amen. I get nervous every time I stand and preach. As a young preacher, I tell him I'm up here now wiping off my hands. I'm wiping the sweat off. Been doing that ever since I was 15 when the Lord saved me and called me to preach. But I tell you, it's exciting being here. We've enjoyed it over at the college. Brother Parsons, everything's just been so great. And it's just a blessing. I'm listening to those announcements tonight, though, and I'm thinking, man, I might ought to stay around for that variety show they're going to have. And, I mean, all I heard was brownies, strawberry shortcake. I mean, brother, the only thing I missed there was banana pudding, amen. And, you know, look, I'm from Georgia. You know how you like banana pudding? You like it hot out of the oven. You like it cold out of the refrigerator. You like it 2 weeks later when it's just a little bit runny. I'm telling you, there's no bad banana pudding is what I'm trying to say. Amen. Well, I tell you what, there's nothing bad around here, brother. Everything I've seen has just been top-notch, and I've just been marveling how the Lord's blessed. And I love Brother Carter, just God's man. And so much he reminds me of my preacher, Brother Moore, Brother Preston Moore, and who I got saved under. And again, just very thankful to be here. But I want you to open your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And we'll look here for just a few minutes, and I pray the Lord will help us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer while you're turning. Heavenly Father, I love you, and I'm grateful, Lord, to stand and, Lord, to preach tonight. Never have felt worthy. I am just grateful for it. But God, use me tonight, and God, touch hearts, Lord. We're only going to be in so many church services. We only hear so many messages. There's only so many altar calls that we can respond to. And dear Lord, I pray, just have your way in this service tonight. And Lord, we trust you to bless your word and use it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I pray that we can look right here in Luke chapter 19, and let's begin reading, if we can, in verse 28. The Bible said, "And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you. In the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him." And you ought to underline this, if you underline and underscore things in your Bible, "Because the Lord hath need of him." Then the next verse, "And they that were sent went their way, and they found even as he said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt?" Here it is again in verse 34. "And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Brother, I tell you, what a good account in the Word of God the Lord Jesus gives us right here. There's so many things here you could kind of focus your attention on. Always, brother, you could just look at the Son of God and see where He's prominent and what the Lord, just what He was doing here. Or you could look at the disciples and you could see how the Lord went about using them, how He sent them into the city and they did what He said. But that's not what the Lord's dealing with my heart about tonight. I want you to take a look at this little donkey. I want you to look at this donkey that they went and that they got. Now, when you read your Bible, God used creation all through the Bible, amen. Brother, you remember Balaam's donkey over in the Old Testament that spoke to him. Brother, that would have been a shock. You know, Jonah and the whale, I don't think he ever after that wanted to go eat at the fish place, amen. I guarantee you. And then Peter with that rooster, he's one preacher that never wanted fried chicken again after that. But I do know this. I know when I read about this little donkey and how God went about getting him, using him, I got to thinking about this. If God could use a little donkey, then what in the world could He do with me and you? I'm saying, brother, if God could use a donkey, hey, there's hope for me. I mean that. I believe, brother, that God wants to use us. And like the Bible says right here in two places in verse 31 and then again in verse 34, He said, because the Lord hath need of him. I want to tell you something tonight. I want to preach just a little while on the Lord hath need of you. Boy, you ought to thank God for that. You know, sometimes we look and you'll look in a church and you'll come in and, boy, the preacher's preaching. You say, boy, the Lord really needs that preacher. There's no doubt about that. And you'll see the staff and you'll say, boy, the Lord needs that staff. I mean, look what they do around that church. Boy, you'll hear that good choir sing. Boy, wasn't that good a little while ago? Or you'll hear the specials and you'll say, man, the Lord really needs those people that can sing. But I want to tell you something tonight. The Lord needs every one of us. I said the Lord needs every one of us, and the Lord has need of you tonight. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we feel inadequate. We feel like, Lord, how could you use me? Sometimes the young people, they'll look and say, Lord, I'm so young. I'll tell you, God can use the young people, amen. Hey, by the way, you don't got to wait till you get a certain age before you start serving God. You can do it now, praise God. And then sometimes you look and you think, well, but I'm limited. Look at my past. Look what I've done back there. But I just say this, if you're saved by the grace of God, God's changed your life, amen. You're not who you used to be, and you ought to thank God for it. I'm telling you, God can use you. Sometimes we think, well, Lord, look at my age. I'm getting on up in years. Hey, God knows our age. God knows our ailments. God knows our ability, amen. I've got some people in church, we go out door knocking and do all that. They can't do that anymore. They can't get out there and physically, preacher, they can't. They get wore out after a little while, and man, we'd be having to pull a stretcher around behind them. They can't do that. But you know what they do while we go out? Man, they'll come up to the church, and they'll get down and pray and beg God to touch us while we're out there. I'm telling you, they can do something for the Lord. The Lord hath need of you. I got to looking at this donkey and I thought, Lord, let me see this now. Now, notice this. If you're writing down an outline, it's very simple, amen. Some preachers are deep sea divers. I feel like I'm that fellow that takes the rock and just skims it across the top of the water, amen. But I want to see, number one, how they located that donkey. Notice how they located that donkey. Now, the Bible says in verse 30, look with me. In verse 30, he said, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat. Now let me just say, there's a couple of times in your life, there's probably more than that, but I just say this, when you're lost and need saving, I'm glad the Lord can locate you. Now, I don't ever preach that I don't give my testimony, so I want to tell you how the Lord went about getting a hold of Brother Terrell Hopkins, amen. Now, I did not grow up in a Christian home. I did not grow up going to church. In fact, nobody in my family attended church anywhere. Nobody. No dad, no mom, no grandparents, no aunt, no uncle, no one. My parents divorced when I was young, and they both remarried. I lived with my mother a little while, then moved up with my dad, you know. So we put the fun in dysfunctional. That's funny right there. Y'all can laugh in a minute, amen. But I'm telling you, it was just, we were mixed up in a termite and a yo-yo. I mean, brother, our family was just, it was nuts. But The bad thing about it was we didn't know anything about the Lord. I think I went to church one time when I was a baby because I found a little Bible and it had my name in it and maybe had the date that I was born. So I assumed they went somewhere and they handed them a Bible one time. Then I remember us going to Easter service one time. Boy, that was a fiasco. Never having gone to church, what do they say? They can't send you in there to get your church clothes. You don't have any. You just go get it. That we got ready, and I mean, anyway, we went maybe that one time, but the Lord knew where we were. And God, I believe he had a plan. I found out later there was one Saturday when there came a knock on our door and they came by our house with a bus, amen. They brought the bus down by our house and brother, it was a great day. Now, I found out later they had a prayer meeting that morning. I don't know where all they had been visiting that day. I don't know how long they spent at every house. I don't know if they stopped and ate lunch. I don't know where we had been that day. I don't know where my family had gone. I don't know what time we got up and where we gone and what time we got back home. But I just know this, they had come down as far as they were gonna go on that bus route. And what I was told, preacher, is that they had gone down a road and were just trying to find a place for the bus to turn around. They went into a cul-de-sac, and they said, well, this will be a good place. And literally, when they turned around in that cul-de-sac, me and my brothers were outside at a basketball court just right down the street. And so they said, well, let's just go to one more house, amen. I want to tell you, I'm glad they came to that one more house, praise God. They brought the bus down there. We started going in. I ended up coming on a Sunday night, and I tell you, the preacher that night, he said, well, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I want to preach tonight on how you can know when you die you're going to heaven. Brother, I tell you what, I know why he was preaching that, praise God. And I mean, brother, I got under conviction that night, realized I was lost and on my way to hell, and I got down on my knees and asked the Lord to save me. By the way, that daddy got saved later. Stepmother got saved. My brothers got saved. Hey, my grandparents ended up getting saved. You understand? We all got saved because God knew where we were. By the way, I say this, aren't you glad God located you one day? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he knew where you were? He knew how to get the gospel down to where you are. By the way, think about this. You got a lost, how many of you have a lost loved one right now? You got a lost loved one. I want to tell you, God knows where they are, doesn't he? God knows how to get down there. He knows how to send the soul winner down there. He knows how to let that preacher cross paths with him. He knows how to let you be able to witness to him at the right time. You say, preacher, they've said no to me. They turned me off. Yeah, but God can let something happen in their life that tenders that heart. And I tell you what it'll do, brother, it may just open up. You mind the Holy Ghost and you let the Lord help you when it comes to witness. And don't, just because they told you no once, don't mean they'll tell you no again. In fact, hey, we're talking about their soul, brother. I'm glad, boy, this donkey, they found that donkey, they located him down there. And hey, God can locate the sinner, amen. But I want to tell you something else. When you're not just when you're lost and need saving, let me help you with something. When you're laboring and God needs a servant. Remember old David? David's down there and he's just keeping those sheep out there in the wilderness and you know, just doing what his daddy told him. And boy, he loved those sheep. I mean, that was his little flock and he was grateful for it. And let me just say this, no matter what God's got you doing, if you got a family, you got a little flock right there, amen. And buddy, you ought to thank God for that flock and watch over that flock. Do you have a Sunday school class? That's a good flock right there, isn't it, amen? Hey, do you got a bus route where you bring kids in? That's a good flock right there. You understand, the Lord blesses you with that flock. David thought much of it. David, brother, cared for it. In fact, when he was going to take food over there to his brethren at the battle, remember what he said? The Bible says he left them in the hands of a keeper. He thought much of that flock. And his brothers didn't think a lot of it. When they saw him, they said, who have you left those few sheep over in the wilderness? But you understand, they meant much to David. But see, God was preparing him over there. And you know the story about how he had killed the lion and he had killed the bear, guarding over those flocks. I mean, he was taking care of them, preacher. And boy, God was watching him and he's watching him grow. But he saw a young man, he said, man, that young loves that flock and he cares for them and he's protecting them and he's doing all of that. And you see, when God needed a king for Israel, where did he go? Did God go to the, I'm sure that when all that experienced army, all those brothers, no doubt about it, great men, at one time men of valor, all of that. No, God looked down there in the pasture. and he found somebody that was being faithful where they were. Let me help you with something. Oftentimes you think, well, I want to do something great for God one day. I want to go here and do that, and I may go here and do that. Wait a minute. Why don't you do something great where you are, praise God? Why don't you do it right here at Landmark Baptist Church, amen? Oh, preacher, you really think I can do that? I guarantee you, you can. I'm talking about when God gets ready. Hey, when he needs a Sunday school teacher, he's going to look among you. Amen. And when we need another bus captain, God's going to look among you. You understand? God knows how to locate you when you're a sinner. But I want to tell you, God knows that when he's looking for a servant, he knows where to find him. Boy, I don't know about you, but there ain't nothing like being used of God. Amen. I'm telling you, there's nothing better than serving God. Our family, again, we growing up the way we did, I feel like the least worthy of it, the least likely to be standing up here and even be preaching tonight, brother, because of where we were and what was going on in our life. But I tell you, brother, God can reach down to the guttermost and save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. Brother, when he saves you and changes your life, there's no telling. I'm looking at this donkey, but wait a minute now. There's more to the Christian life than just getting saved, right? Now, some people, you can say, man, I remember when God saved me, but there needs to be some other things that go on. Look right here with me, if you will, down in the latter part of verse 30. He said, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which that you're in, and ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. Now I want to say, the Lord knows how to locate you, but let me give you something else. The Lord knows how to, he didn't just locate this donkey, he loosed this donkey. Now, the way I look at that is, I tell you, when we got saved, I mean, it's kind of like Lazarus over there. Lazarus in John 11, and verse 43, the Bible says, and when he had thus spoken with a loud voice, he cried, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that he that was dead came forth. In other words, that's a type of salvation. But notice what was going on. He was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Now, I want to tell you something, brother. When I got saved, when we got saved, you think about when the Lord found you. Man, we were messed up, mixed up. I mean, brother, out in the world, I mean, we didn't talk right, live right, look right, do right. There was nothing in our life that, as far as God was concerned, was right. Our life didn't line up with the Bible. Man, you talk about worldly, brother. Man, we just got saved. We didn't know. I remember the first time my dad, said, hey, y'all get ready. It's Wednesday night. I thought we was going out to eat. I thought, praise God, I wonder where we're going to eat tonight, amen. Boy, so we ran in there and got ready and everything. We came back out, and I said, where are we going? Now, I'm sorry, they didn't take us to the fancy places, you know. I was waiting on Crystal. We're going to the Crystal, amen. Or maybe we're going to McDonald's. And I was like, whoa, it's going to be good. He said, no, we're going to church tonight. I remember as a young man, church? I said, on a Wednesday? I said, what do they do? He said, I don't know. He said, they just told me they at church on Wednesday night. He said, so we're going to go try it. I'd never been to church on a Wednesday night, never. And so we came in, and you say, what'd they do? Same thing they did on Sunday. Sang, prayed, preached, praise God. It was the same thing, and God moved the same way he did on Sunday, and we went to growing in the Lord. God went to help. And now the Lord was having to loose us from some stuff, though. When you get saved, you begin to look at your life, think about it. Your mouth wasn't always as clean and pure as it is now, is it? Look back, brother, I'm telling you, hey, you look at the old sinful habits, brother, that were in your life, and brother God, you went, what changed you? That word of God you heard preached week in and week out. I'd come to church and I thought the preacher had followed me around with some recording my life. I mean, hey, he could have dismissed everybody else and said, now, all of y'all except Brother Hopkins, now you stay right there, son, because I'm about to preach on everything you're doing. It didn't matter, man. He could preach out of Genesis and I was under conviction. He'd preach out of Revelation and I was under conviction. He'd get over there in those minor prophets and I'm like, man, I don't even understand that, but I'm guilty. You ever felt that way? By the way, that's when it's doing you some good. You ought to thank God you got a man of God that loves you enough, brother, to preach every once in a while. Somebody say, well, I went to that church, and that preacher preached on something I was doing, and I got mad. Wait, wait. You mean you came to a church, and it's filled with hundreds of people,
And that preacher has no idea what you're doing, but he got in the Bible and he got on his knees and he went to begging God, and God gave him a message. And you mean that of all the people sitting there, God tailored a message and let him preach on something that was in your life? Amen. You know what that sounds to me like? It sounds like God sure does love you. Well, I don't like that preacher. I just thought that preacher was being mean. No, brother, that Holy Ghost preaching, God's trying to help you. And you're not going to get, I can tell you this, you will not get loose from that old world without getting under that type of preaching, amen. You see, red hot. Well, I think about the children of Israel, the three Hebrew children, when they're over there and they're down in the burning fiery furnace. They were thrown down in there bound, you understand. They look down there and he said, I see four men loose and walking, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Well, you take that any way you want to. I take it like this. They threw him down in that fire, and brother, in that fire where Jesus was is where the bounds got burnt off, amen. And I just say this, when I've come to church and I've sat down and the man of God's got up and preached, and I mean, brother, it's convicted me, and I was guilty of it. I'm grateful, brother, that I'd go down to an altar, and you know what God helped me to do? Because the man of God's preaching on it, man, I was able to help. God helped me to get it out of my life. Amen. You look at your life, if the Lord's helped you to grow and helped you to try to start getting that old mess out, the only way it's happened is you've heard the Word of God. And what you've done is God's begin to bring you more and more to the Word of God. Oh, preacher, it hurts sometimes. Oh, yeah, man. I never got a whooping that it didn't hurt. And let me just say this, if you don't know the difference between a spanking and a whooping, you've never been whooped. I wish my daddy had known something about time out. Time out? Are you kidding me? The only person saying time out was me. Time out! Why, he's wearing me out. Whoa! Hey, I've got a lot worse spiritual whippings from my heavenly father than I ever got from my earthly father. You see, when God's giving you those kind of ways, it's doing you some good. See, this matter of growing in the Lord, this matter of being more like Christ, hey, God's got to loose you for something. Let me ask you something. I wonder how many of us tonight, man, there's so much God would love to do with you, but you're still bound. Still bound. You don't have to stay that way. You know, the sad thing would be to say, well, I'm bound, but I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm bound, but there's nothing. I've been wrapped up in this too long. There's no way that I can get delivered from that. I'm just telling you, that's not so. This donkey, they came and found him, and literally they said, loose him and let him go. And notice what they did next. I'll say this. It's when you get saved, God locates you. You get born again. But then God, through the preaching and as you begin to come, God begins to loose you of some of that old stuff that had you bound for so long. Amen. But then the next thing I see with this donkey is they were able to lead him. Lead him. You say, well, that's nothing uncommon. It's uncommon to me. When I read right here, again in chapter 19, the Bible says, he said, you go in verse 30, he said, you'll find a colt tied whereon yet never man sat. You're talking about a wild donkey. Now, I don't know if you know much about animals, and amen. I know a little bit about animals. I'm raising three children. Say amen. I'm saying, you know, but I've never owned a donkey. I understand. But those that have, and I began to talk to them about it, that's a stubborn animal right there. I mean, obnoxious animal. I mean, when you want it to do one thing, it's going to do another. It's got a mind of its own. Can I tell you, that sounds like us right after we got saved. See, we had a mind of our own. We did what we wanted. We lived like we wanted. Well, nobody's going to tell us what to do. Nobody's going to lead us. See, that changed, though. When did that change? When Jesus came in. Amen. You see, isn't it amazing how we used to fight against him? Isn't it amazing how we used to buck against him, and we didn't want to, if we didn't want to hear it, we didn't want to listen to it. Boy, the preacher now, two things. If you're lost, you don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear it. But then here's another. If you're carnal and backslid, you don't want to hear that kind of preaching. You don't want nobody to let, I don't care who that preacher is. He's not going to tell me. He's not going to lead me. I remember my pastor, he's talking about the night he got saved. His brother and all of them, he was still lost. He was a young man. And his brother was already pastoring a church. He said, look, y'all, my brother's going to come one day. And when he does, it'd be the only time he comes. And boy, we need to pray God gets him. And he told my pastor, he said, I'd love to see you get baptized over there in Yellow River. And you know what? My preacher, he said, I was just a smart aleck young man. He said, I told my older brother, hey, it'll take a bigger man than you to get me in Yellow River. And you know what? It did. He said he came to church that night. That one night, he thought, well, I thought I'd just go and let him know the preacher's good-looking younger brother was here. He said he went into that service, and he said he saw some men coming up from down in the woods, and he said, man, and some ladies coming up out of a room over there. He said they're wiping tears out of their eyes and probably wiping snuff out of their mouth. He said, but you know what they was doing? They'd been down there praying. They'd been down there begging God. And he said, boy, he got in that service and the Lord started moving and God started dealing with him. And God showed him he was lost. And hey, he didn't go down because his brother was the pastor. He didn't go down because he knew some people in that church. He said, the Lord dealt with my heart. And he said, boy, when I got saved by the grace of God, God changed me, amen. Can I tell you this? When you get saved by the grace of God, you want to be led, amen. And what I love what the Bible says about it. Hey, the Bible says in Psalm 23 that he leadeth me beside the still waters. Then it tells us down there, I believe in verse 3, it says he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. How easy are you to be led tonight? See, that's one way you can kind of gauge your spirituality. Here's you another. Let me ask you something. How do you react when you get corrected? Now, nobody likes getting corrected, nobody. But I'm telling you, what's it when the hammer meets, you know, when the hammer meets the nail, and I mean, son, you're on the end of it. You know, how do you deal with that? Now, if you're where you ought to be with the Lord, then you're gonna let the Lord lead you, and you're gonna let him help you. You don't fight against that. I just noticed they just led him. The Bible just said he was a wild donkey, unbroken. But now, brother, he's just tamed. And I just say the Holy Spirit of God, he's always going to lead you to the Word of God. Understand, the Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. Never one time. Then let me give you this. I want you to notice something else. He brought him over there, and the Bible says that, and they that were sent went their way, they found in verse 32, even as he had said unto them, and as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said to them, why loose ye the colt? They said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. Now what I see is this donkey. Now, you remember, God had to locate this donkey just like he located me and you. God had to loose this donkey just like me and you need to get loose from whatever it is that's keeping us from living for God, serving God, honoring God with our life. This donkey was led, and hey, just like we need to learn to be led by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, by the man of God. You understand? All of those things. But then it's not only that. You see, now he's coming to a place where he's actually laboring. They put the blankets on him. They've set Jesus on this donkey. You see, this donkey was saved for a purpose. Let me help you with something. God never saved us to sit, soak, and sour on a church pew. And by the way, we don't get to some place. Every once in a while I hear somebody, we talk about serving God, and here's the statement, well, I've done my duty. Almost like you decided that it's up for you. Everybody help me with something right now. Do this for me. Everybody breathe in. Now breathe out. All right, you know what that means? Here's some good Georgia terminology. You still breathing air. And as long as you're drawing air, then you can serve God. Amen. David said, while I have breath, will I praise the Lord. Praise God. Now I'm telling you, if we're able to draw air, we can labor for God and serve God. Amen. This matter of laboring, brother, hey, there's nothing else like it. There's nothing else like serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Who saved you and forgave you your sin? Who washed you in his precious blood and made you clean? Who put you in a good, independent, fundamental Baptist church and helped you to get under the right kind of preaching and helped you to grow in the Lord? Who gave you a congregation like this? Who gave us this holy Word of God, this King James Bible? Who gave us that? You see, the Lord did all of that. But if I can go to this thinking about, we sing all them songs, I just want to thank you, Lord. Man, I go to thinking about what all God's done in my life. It's not just what he's done in my life. Man, my wife, Melissa, oh, I love my dear sweet wife. I told them, the ones in chapel there, one day I saw this blonde-headed, blue-eyed, red-lipped beauty. Amen. And I mean, son, it caught me, brother. She got me. Now, man goes by 90% of what he sees, and a woman goes by 90% of what she hears. That's why the ugliest guy in the world can get the prettiest girl. Amen. But I say this, hey, listen to this. I was praying I began to pray as a young man. And here was my very spiritual prayer, brother. I was down begging God, and I said, oh, dear God, don't let me marry an ugly woman. And hey, God answered my prayer. You know what I tell him, though? You know what my wife said? I wish I'd have prayed that. I'm so sorry, honey. Amen. I want to tell you something, this matter of laboring for God, I said all that, you look at what all God's done in your life, and I just say this, there's no one more worthy than the Lord Jesus for you and me to serve. God saved us to serve. We can live our life the greatest. You know, I'm grateful to be the pastor of Heritage Baptist Church. I'm grateful to be, you know, the husband of Melissa, the daddy to Bridget, David, and Jonathan. I'm grateful. Boy, what wonderful titles to be a parent, to be a husband, to be a pastor. But to me, brother, when you read in the New Testament and it talks about all those different good men of God, like what it says, Paul, how would he refer to himself? Paul, the great missionary that started over all these churches. And no, it wasn't like that. Oh, you know, this one or that one that did this. No, he'd say, Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, that's the greatest honor we have. Amen. I don't care if you're a teenager. I don't care if you're in college. I don't care if you're young married. I don't care if you've been married for 50 years. I don't care if you're elderly. I say this, why can't whatever days we have, why don't we give them to God and say, God, I don't know all that I can do, but dear Lord, if you'll let me, I'll serve you till the day I die. Amen. And then I want to give you something. This matter of serving and laboring. This matter, again, he located him, he loosed him, he led him. Now you see that he's laboring for him. But you see, what was it that he was doing? These singers, when they sing, what should they be doing? Us preachers, when we preach, what ought we to be doing? You, a child of God, you're serving God. What ought you to be doing? Look with me, if you will. The Bible says, and they set Jesus thereon. The Bible says, and as they went, in verse 36, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now, and by the way, there's some great things going on right here. And in the middle of it, you always are going to have this. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Jesus just said, answering, said unto them, I tell you, nay, that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. What I want to show you is what all of this located, loosed, led, now he's laboring. Why? The same reason me and you are still here, to lift up Jesus. Can I tell you something? Nobody had to see the donkey when Jesus was coming down that descent of the Mount of Olives. Nobody, there wasn't anything about that donkey that anybody needed to see. All they needed to see was Jesus. Can I tell you something tonight? They don't need to see us. It's not about you, and it's not about you or you and yours and how. No. You see, if they can see Jesus, that donkey, because they could see the Son of God, then that donkey did well. That the Lord recorded the acts of a donkey in the Word of God. A donkey. Well, I tell you, I think if I wouldn't have wasted time on that. Hey, that donkey lifted up Jesus. want to ask you something. Whatever life you've got, I want to ask you right now, could you tell me, preacher, I can tell you with all of my heart, every day of my life, I'm lifting up the Lord Jesus with everything I do. But if you sit like I sit when somebody preaches like I'm preaching, then I say, oh Lord, I feel like an unprofitable servant. God, I want to lift you up. Maybe there's something tonight you say, preacher, I'd lift him up, but I got an area of my life that I really need God to loose me first. Preacher, I'd lift him up, but I've got an area that I'm not allowing God to lead me. It's hard to lift up Jesus when I'm not allowing God to lead me like that. Preacher, I really want to lift up Jesus, but I'll be honest, it's been a while since I've really labored for the Son of God like I ought to. Now, I don't know your heart. I'm grateful to be here. You got one of the best preachers in America. I'm just saying, I think you know that. Man, it loves the Lord, loves the work of God, loves the house of God. It tries to lift up Jesus with his life. And I just say this, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I wonder if there's anything that's keeping us from being able to lift up Jesus. Wouldn't it be a good night on a Wednesday night to come down? I give an altar call. I've got them all. I've got people that can come. They get down in the altar. I've got some that they can't kneel. Man, their knees are messed up. They can't do all that. You know what they'll do? They'll come sit on these pews down here because they don't want to miss another opportunity to bow down before their Lord. You see, you only got so many church services, so many altar calls. And I don't know what all God may be dealing with your heart about. I'd like you to do this, if it's all right, preacher. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? First of all, would there be anybody that would say, preacher, I'm not saved. If I died today, I'm afraid I'd die and go to hell. Oh, preacher, this matter of God locating me, God got me here tonight to locate me because I need to get saved. Would there be somebody that's lift your hand, just say, pray for me, preacher. I don't know that I'm saved. I need to be born again. I need to find out about that. Somebody can take a Bible and show you. Lift your hand. Could we see it? If there's just one, just lift it up and down again. And there's those that are looking, those that would help you. All right, by way of hands, I see that you're saying, preacher, I'm saved. Then how many of you would say, preacher, without a shadow of a doubt, with all my heart, whatever days I have, I want to lift up Jesus with my life. Be honest, raise your hand if that's you. If you mean that with all your, raise it, God bless you. Hands are up everywhere. Then why don't we do this? Why don't we come get on our knees and why don't we talk to our Heavenly Father? Why don't we just, one more night, I don't know, I don't